Hey, we here at the Down to Dunk podcast just wanted to take a second and say that our thoughts and prayers are with Monty Williams and his family as they're dealing with the loss of his wife, Ingrid. Here's a clip of Jamie Wheat when he was on our podcast a year ago when we had first heard the news of Monty Williams coming to the Thunder and he ran into him at a gas station.
No, that I think that's Monty Williams. He got ahead of me and I sped up and I was like, I'll look at the tag and see what the tag says. Because if it's Oklahoma, I mean, that wouldn't make sense. I sped up. The tag was like covered, but it had a Louisiana border plate around it. And so I pulled up and I was like, that's Monty Williams. We were going to Sprouts and he pulled off into a gas station across the street. So I dropped Lauren off and I was like, Lauren, I gotta go say something to him. I don't know. And like, this is Monty Williams. I mean, it's not even like a huge name coach or anything. But anyway, so I drop her off and basically just leave her at the grocery store. And I run over and what intended to be like a 5-minute conversation, I was just going to tell him that I really admired how he handled. He got interviewed right after he got let go. I mean, it was like 15 minutes after the news broke that he got let go. And he handled himself really, really well to this reporter that was just asking tough questions. And I just really admired it because, I mean, it's a tough spot, you know. And anytime you get canned, I'm sure you don't want to talk to reporters. So anyways, I go to tell him. I walk up. I'm like, sir, this is incredibly uncomfortable. I'm sorry to bother you, but you look a lot like Monty Williams. And he started laughing. And I was like, are you laughing because you are Monty Williams? And he was like, I am. And I was like, I don't ever do this. And I don't know why I'm like nervous right now. But I just wanted to say I really admired how you handled that situation because I would have been livid had that happened like 15 minutes after I got, you know, fired. And he was like, you know, want to know what's crazy about that situation is that they came to my house. I'd been home for 15 minutes after that happened. They came to my house and knocked on my door. And
he's like,
I looked out my window and there's a reporter and a news crew. And he just, I mean, it was just the coolest conversation because we started talking about that. And then, you know, he's just a solid guy all around. He's big in his faith, and that's something he's not afraid to really profess, but he's not like obnoxious about it. And he's just really genuine. And one of the things that he said was, he was just like, man, he's like, I really appreciate you telling me that because he's like, I've made myself look like an idiot before. He's like, I've done it in games. I've done it in public. And he's like, the one time I had cameras on me, whenever probably one of the hardest things to happen to me and my family happened, I just happened to get it right. And he's like, I'm thankful for that. And he's like, so I appreciate you saying that. And then he just like opened his life up to me. And like, do you want to come and talk to me about it? And so we just started talking and we were talking about, just what it was like coaching Anthony Davis and, you know, how he's like a budding star. And he, one of the things that he told me was crazy is he was like, and this is why I felt like he kind of got burned. He was like, I had, you know, an option that I thought that I was guaranteed, you know, I was almost positive they were going to pick up because I hit every benchmark I was supposed to in my contract. You know, we made the playoffs. He's like, we knocked out the Thunder. I know you're a Thunder fan, but, you know, we were so happy to do that because that was a huge feat. Even though, you know, the team was injured or the Thunder were injured. He's like, so we did everything we were supposed to do. I had a great relationship with the management. And he was like, and then, you know, that happens. And it's just like, he's like, honestly, I just wanted to throw my fist through a wall. And he's like, but thankfully I had good people around me to keep my head on straight. And so we talked about that. And then I was like, so then stupid me, the first thing I bring up is how this man got fired from a job. And then the next thing I bring up, I was like, well, you know, I was like, the other thing I think is really cool is I read the story about your influence on Ryan Anderson going through his whole tragedy. And if you don't know, Ryan Anderson's girlfriend who was on The Bachelor actually she committed suicide and it was just a crazy write up the whole story. Ryan Anderson basically almost completely walked away from basketball altogether. And so I you know, me being the awful person to bring up these sad things, I am. I read that story. I don't know how much of it is accurate, but based on what I know, I thought that that was really awesome because, like, we look at these people as bigger than life, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, the reality, and that's what he said. He was like, I understand where you're coming from as a fan. He's like, and so what, you know, what people don't get is these guys are just as human. Honestly, though, he was like, I was in a situation where my wife is so strong that like I was just there for him. I just sat with him for days and days and we didn't say a word. And my wife was the one that would like comfort him and tell him, I guess he just slept on his floor in his living room. And he talked about their relationship and how Ryan Anderson is just a really cool guy. And just all these things. He just seemed so real and personal. And then he kind of slipped up about what he was here for in Oklahoma City. And yeah. He was like, you know, he just asked me not to say anything, so I told him I wouldn't, and that's a stupid promise to keep, but it's Monty Williams. So
this is why players love him, just like that. He just made friends with you.
I
like
know,
now you have his like whatever. You have his back forever.
Yeah, that's
now on,
I will. That's exactly how it is. And we were talking about that, and he was like, the biggest thing I feel like I could bring to a city like this, if you know. And then he was like, covered his tracks. He's like, if you know, I'm gonna end up here. And this is before like Woj threw the bomb out about him.
It was before like that Mark Stein tweet, yeah. Which I think was like the first one that came out. Like Jamie was tweeting us about like Monty Williams basically being the next assistant coach.
So, but
OKC.
I never told you to.
You
keep,
didn't.
I kept my word, Monty.
You
did. But he was saying that he's like, what you guys are seeing with Kevin and Russ and those guys right now is they're like kind of becoming jaded with the media a little bit, which is what happens to a lot of guys. It's not abnormal, and a lot of fans just brush it off and they're like, well, the media is annoying and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was just saying, I've been there before as a coach. He's like, I'm honestly, I was there right after my firing. He's like, and one of the things that I feel I could bring here is just like a sense of like, keep your eyes focused on what's most important, and that's winning a championship together. Because he's like, I thought the grass was greener in other places, and I went and realized that it wasn't. And he was like, and then I've also just seen what it means to have players that'll play for each other and be in a city where the people care about the team regardless of winning more than, you know, just give me a trophy or get the heck out of here, which hopefully we're not getting to that. And he was like, that's one of the things I've always noticed about Oklahoma City is how genuine the people are. We went back and forth. It ended up being like a 45-minute conversation. We started talking about fishing and like stuff like this, and he's just like the coolest guy ever. So
that's wild.
That's awesome. It was really cool.
Told you guys that was going to happen. My mic stand just fell.
So anyways, it was a cool story.
That's awesome.
And he's stoked to be – I think it'll be huge. I think it'll be huge for having him here.
This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to episode 219 of the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Heyo!
I'm Luke, joined this morning by Jay and Andrew. We have no idea where Taylor is.
We really don't.
We assume he's sleeping.
Probably.
I hope so.
That's the hope.
If you're missing the podcast, you better be snoozing.
Normally, we all can at least come up with a decent excuse, like, oh, man, I wasn't feeling well this morning. I'm not dead. And really, it's just an excuse of me saying I'm asleep.
Oh, man, that's right. Crapped the bed.
Crapped the bed, can't come.
Guys, let's talk about the Golden State game.
Ooh, we haven't even dissected this. It feels like it was forever ago.
No,
it does.
We all watched it together, except for Andrew.
Well,
it wasn't by choice.
It was not by choice. I was watching it on my phone, waiting
in the urgent care.
In an urgent care, watching it on the ESPN app the whole time. Literally the entire game.
No, so you,
I
was,
don't
your wife
talk.
That was sick?
Yes, I don't. I honestly don't want to talk about
it. It's the hard part wherever you're like completely unwarranted mad at somebody.
Yes.
Like, how dare you be sick?
Yeah. How could you do this to me? Do you know how important this night was to me? I had so many plans.
All the other nights you could have been sick.
Yeah. I felt bad for her because she was like, are you mad at me? Don't be mad. I don't want you to be mad at me. I was like, I can't be mad at you.
I'm mad at the situation.
Yeah, I'm mad at what's happening.
I'm mad at viruses.
You know, the Thunder lost 116-108 and it really was both simultaneously closer than that and a larger lead than that, right? Like, it felt the Warriors came out in the Thunder came out in the first quarter, went up 9-0, and just were, like, on a mission.
You're just like, oh, yeah, here we go. We're cooking.
And then the Warriors
woke up.
Yeah, decided to play basketball. And I think, let me find that. First quarter was 36-31. Golden State took the lead, and then they extended that lead, winning the second quarter 37-28. And so they went into halftime with a 72-59 lead or something.
It just felt like, well, you know,
nobody's ever going to beat the Warriors.
What's the silver lining here? That Sam Presti has to make a trade now.
Yeah.
You know, like that was it. Like, Sam Presti can't look at this team and think that they can compete with the Warriors, even though like it's just one game.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. It just felt like this is a hopeless season. Like no one's beating them. No one will ever beat them. And Durant's going to play with them next year. It's all over.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You start spiraling out of control.
Trade surge. You know,
my family's gonna leave me. I don't know what. So they ended up coming out in the third quarter and played really, really well. Held Golden State to 18 points in that quarter. And the Thunder scored 24 and cut into that lead. And they actually, with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, tied the game. And the Warriors are just hard to stop consistently for a whole game. Yeah. And so as they tied the game, the Warriors scored. I mean, they may have tied it at 108. I can't remember. I think it was like 105 or 103, and the Warriors just kind of took off and ended up winning the game.
Yeah, they just hit a couple threes.
Yeah, Klay Thompson finally hit a three.
But like you just felt like that was coming.
Yeah.
Like the whole run, you were just like, they're going to hit. Like, these are going to fall.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Because Curry and Klay Thompson didn't play very well.
No.
And some of that was defensive schemes. I think they kind of made the decision that they were going to guard the perimeter, and that's all they were going to do. Because you saw them tear them up at the rim a lot, but they didn't score a lot from the perimeter.
The Thunder all season, this hasn't just been like a Golden State thing. Like, their closeout points allowed has been, like, second best in the league all season. Like, it's a strategy that they want to implement. Even though sometimes it doesn't feel like that, sometimes it feels like, oh, my gosh, these guards are just torching us. But compared to every other team in the league, they guard the perimeter very well and have had
traditionally great. Which is crazy because it doesn't feel like that.
Great on closeouts. Yeah, it hasn't.
They held the Warriors to 7 out of 26 from the three-point line, 26.9% for... I mean, statistically, what will go down as one of the best shooting teams of all time, it's pretty impressive.
It was impressive. And you know what?
What?
All this talk about Enes Kanter, most of it revolved around the fact that they could not play him against Golden State, right? Like, it was like, oh, you know, he's playing well against the Nuggets, but you know what? This won't hold up against the Warriors. He will get torched. He will get killed. He is horrible, blah, blah, blah. And his Kanter was good.
He was.
He was one of the reasons why they came back, because of his rebounding. He had 15 rebounds in 20 minutes.
Him and Adams kind of killed Bogut.
Yeah, but I mean, and one of the things is Azeli had surgery.
Out for and he's 6 weeks.
Well, he'll be reevaluated at 6 weeks.
So he could be out for that.
So it could be 8 weeks. Yeah. It could be 9, 10. Like, nobody really knows. And if he can't go in the playoffs, or if he's not in shape for the playoffs and they have to just go with Bogut, the Thunder have a real advantage with their bigs.
The only thing that sucked about if we're talking the front court conversation, is the fact that Mo Spates and his huge head came out and played incredibly well.
He did.
Which is not likely, right? Like, he's good. He can be good.
He's not... I mean, he was 6 of 10. He hit a 3. I mean, he was...
Yeah,
he had the highest plus-minus of anybody. Yep. He was a plus 20 in the game. It was just like... I mean, it was just stupid. He's not going to do that every game. He's a capable shooter.
Yeah.
He's basically a shooting guard center. Like, he just shoots perimeter shots. Like, that's what that guy does.
So, I want to talk about some of the negatives for Oklahoma City. Number one, it's the worst game that Curry played all season, it felt like. He was 10 of 26 from the field, 1 of 9 from the three-point line. Ended up with 26 points still, which is, you know, not surprising.
He just didn't shoot well.
Yeah, he just didn't shoot well. And Klay Thompson didn't shoot well either.
He's
8 of 15, excuse me, but he was 1 of 6 from the three-point line. And so those are things that you can look at and say, like, well, Golden State didn't play very good game and still won by 8 points. But the things that I will take away from it is, in my opinion, Kevin Durant and Russ were, you said it, kind of the alpha dogs of that
game.
They
were the alpha dogs. They were, I mean, like, if you didn't know anything about either of these teams, you came in and watched that game, you would say, wow, the team that had the two best players just lost.
Yeah.
Like, you would have said that. Like, Curry, I mean, I still think that Curry is the MVP. He's the best player in the league, all that. But against, in a particular game, it was Durant and it was Russell Westbrook. Because they got whatever they wanted and they could not stop them. They flat out couldn't stop them. And it was the role players for the Thunder that failed them again. Serge Ibaka, he only shot 5 shots. He was
three rebounds, no blocks.
Mostly invisible. I mean, the counting stats definitely aren't there. He was not great. You want to talk about like the Curry and Thompson didn't show up. Like, Serge Ibaka was invisible. Deion Waiters, everybody has different opinions about Deion Waiters. He was a plus one, so
the only
screw you, everyone.
Yeah.
But he played 37 minutes. He was 1 of 5 from the field. He was not very good overall, but he did play good defense. I think his defense has been good. Like, he was able to, like, when they got the switch and he was guarding Draymond, like, he did a decent job.
He's big enough to work. And Draymond was a complete non-factor in that game.
Draymond was not that good.
Which is crazy. Like,
I'll say this. He was good.
Yeah.
He got key rebounds against Enes Kanter in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's true.
That could have led to the Thunder really taking a solid lead. He did play well down the stretch.
Yeah, I just didn't, for all the hype, like, we had a conversation sitting at this table about Draymond being the starter over Kevin Durant.
Right. That was a dumb thing I said.
And you watch that game and you're like, I would expect, and he will, I guarantee what happens the next time they play, he'll, you know, have some sort of huge.
He's just such a different player though. Like, he's not a scorer. Like, when he gets a triple double, his struggle is to score 10 points a lot of times. He's not a scorer at all.
So just a few other lines that I feel like are worth mentioning. Kyle Singler had 11 minutes, completely non-factor, 0 of 1 from the field.
What, he was horrible.
Just a 3-point
had
line.
An embarrassing turnover.
Cam Payne looked like a rookie in the biggest game of the season, which is exactly what he was. And he'll be excited to play them again. You know, and he's a bad matchup for Sean Livingston. Sean Livingston's a bad matchup for campaign, right? Like,
yeah.
And they moved him off of him a lot. You did see that. They tried to get other people on Sean Livingston. Anthony Morrow was 0 of 3. And some of these were good shots. Like, I know some of it's because Golden State's defense is good and they know where to be. But some of it, they just missed shots. Campaign looked erratic. I was pretty let down by his performance in that game, but not surprised in the same way.
Yeah. You take an Iskanter out of the equation, the bench was 1 for 11.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to win a game.
You can't win when you're not going to beat
Phoenix with that numbers, right? You know, so, but you do take a ton of positives. And I sent out a tweet, and I still believe that, is that all you wanted to know in that game is that the Thunder belonged in the conversation.
Yes, exactly.
Because really, it had been a Warriors-Spurs dominated narrative for this entire NBA season so far. The Thunder are 40-14 at the All-Star break,
which is impressive.
And gave the Golden State Warriors the best legitimate game of their year, right? Because they lost. They've lost four games.
They got killed by the Pistons. But, like, do they have any chance of meeting the Pistons in the playoffs? No, none.
And if they did, would they sweep them? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. If the Pistons, miraculously made it to the finals.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's the biggest deal for me. I think the Thunder are in a place where they've got to be feeling great. But they also are in the place where I think they're going to make some sort of move if they can, if it's available.
Well, and also you have to know, like, Andre Robertson, as much as we dog on him, would have made a positive impact on this game. So he would have taken Kyle Singler's minutes. I think that him coming off the bench would be a fantastic thing for this team. And keep Deion in the starting lineup.
The possibility of it is growing and growing and growing. And I think Robertson may be back after the All-Star break, by the way.
Yeah.
He was on the court a lot yesterday. We have we play Thursday and aren't back on the court until Friday of next week, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think he'll be back, which I'm excited to see him back. Man, I love Robertson. I think
he's very good. He will make a positive impact on this team. And if he does come off the bench, this bench that is basically no defense at all, you add one of the best perimeter defenders in the league to that, I mean, that makes that would make a big difference. And I think that he would have made a difference in that game against, because the bench is what really just killed the Thunder, is that the bench went off. And a lot of it was on good, like, they played good defense. like Livingston hit some stupid shots.
Yeah, and most Spates hit that three Spates, in the corner,
and they left Spates. They left Spates alone for the most part, yeah. And they're just like you know, if you're going to beat us,
the rim and not get great. Out there, you're right.
But Livingston, he hit some turnaround shot and got fouled. Then I was just like, what is happening? Sean Livingston.
For all the talk of the death lineup, did they even play it?
Yeah, that's the lineup that the Thunder gave them their death lineup.
Yeah.
And they matched.
Yeah. It was an encouraging game. And you still don't know. Like, there's also a chance they come to Oklahoma City Saturday the 27th. And there's also a really good chance when that happens that Golden State...
they could destroy
beats us by 30.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you just don't know. And there's also a chance that Oklahoma City in front of the home crowd could come out with that energy and sustain that energy for the whole, you know, you just don't know.
With Courtney Lee starting, who knows?
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen? So they did also play a couple other games since we last potted, but none of them matter as much. So they played Golden State on Saturday. They came back on Monday and beat Phoenix 122-106, which was a crazy game. Like, you knew it would be a letdown game because you can't come against the best team in the league versus probably maybe the worst overall team in the league.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody I would take less than them, right? Because of the dysfunction.
Oh, yeah.
And the, anyway, so.
I'd rather have the Sixers.
Yeah. And so they ended up, it was a tight game until all of a sudden Oklahoma City was like, oh, let's just do this.
Yeah.
And they ended up winning 122-106. It wasn't as, I mean, it's not as hotly contested as some of the Phoenix games would be because probably the Suns are just completely, I don't know. Markieff is, I can't stand that guy, dude.
There's a lot of hatred between the Suns and the Thunder. It's overall
strange. Very strange.
It's been happening for a while.
Which could completely change at the trade deadline, right? Like, more than likely, the two pieces that would be moved, PJ Tucker, Markieff Morris,
yeah,
are the two biggest, you know.
Alex Lynn hates Russell Westbrook, too.
Yeah, Alex Lynn's strange. Anyway, so, and then they came back last night for the last game before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And played New Orleans and just, I mean, really killed them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was no contest.
New Orleans needs to blow up and rebuild.
Yeah, and they'll have an opportunity too. Last night was a tough night for both teams because they're both very close to Monty Williams. It was kind of a strange atmosphere, kind of a somber atmosphere. But it did get fun. Like when Steve Novak hit threes, like everybody went crazy.
Yeah,
that was fun. But yeah, I mean, like they did what they're supposed to do. They took care of business. They held them under 100 points, which is nice to see, and scored 120. Like they just stomped on a bad Pelicans team.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, let's move into the Twitter questions. You guys ready?
Well, I want to ask one question. Sorry, Luke.
Okay. What is it?
Just real quick. If I told you at the beginning of the season that at the All-Star break, the Thunder would be 40-14,
mm-hmm.
what would you tell me? What would be your thoughts?
I'd say that's where they should be. Like, yeah. That's great. Like, Durant's been healthy. They're on track.
Right. Everything that could go right has actually gone right.
Yeah. I mean, they've been good. Yeah. It's just hard whenever, like, the backdrop is.
No. I'm saying before the season, if you knew that the Thunder were 40-14 and you didn't know anybody else's, like, I told you, Thunder would be 40-14, would you say they're probably in?
Awesome.
One or two in the West, right? Surely.
Yeah, they're at the top of the West. Easy.
And it's just a reminder, like, I think the added stress for this Thunder team is the fact that they're 40-14 and 9 games out of first in the West.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that they cared that much about it.
Stay in the third, stay in the three seed.
Yeah, and they're going to easily keep the three seed.
So
thanks to Blake Griffin punching a dude.
So, but anyway, I'm trying to give a little perspective to any of our listeners.
Yeah, this is a great team.
They're really good.
This is one of the, they're the third best team in the NBA.
And could be historically the best third team in the NBA, right? Like,
yeah, I mean.
If any other season that wasn't so crazy as this one, they would be one of the best teams.
Well, Elias put out that there's never been three teams in the entire league going into the All-Star break that have had 40 or more wins. And this is the first time that's ever happened.
Some of it is because of the weirdness of this NBA season, too. There's so many average teams. Right. Like that are beefing up some schedules.
Like the Rockets should have been better this year. They're
Clippers
not.
Like, should be better.
Clippers should be a little better. I mean, there's just.
The Hawks, you know, like even teams like that.
But. There's a lot of teams. And then there's some really crap teams that have been just okay, but are still, to these three teams, like very beatable.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, anyway, I just wanted to ask that question because that's impressive. 14-14, the All-Star break is great.
They're awesome.
Now let's ask some Twitter questions.
Twitter questions!
Our first Twitter question comes from @Cody, son of Steve, who wants to know, what are the chances of another team in the East taking the Cavs down in the playoffs? Who? How? Why?
There's only one team I think that can do it.
It's a very slim chance.
And it's Toronto.
Toronto. Well, it depends on what happens at the trade deadline. Like, does Boston go get somebody? Like, if Boston can get a bigger piece.
Like, for example?
Kevin Love, Dwight Howard.
Okay.
Somebody like that.
No way the Cavs would trade Kevin Love to Boston.
It depends on what they get back.
Yeah. Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart or something.
Yeah. If you get back a package like that plus a Brooklyn first-round pick, the Cavs would be like, okay, let's do it.
Man, I don't know. Cavs are so – to deal something – they've given away picks – nonstop trying to build a team. So I don't know. Anyway, but I got what you're saying. I think Boston could, as a piece away. I think Toronto, and the reason I think Toronto's a piece away.
If they can get a power forward at the deadline, they wouldn't have to give up that much to get Markieff. They could bring him in, although he's a crazy person, but a very talented crazy person.
You just fear the chemistry is all I can think of in that matchup.
Yeah, that's a concern. Taj Gibson might be, well, and I don't know. Chicago is so weird. You don't really know what they want to do. But if they can get a power forward, they could be really, really good. And they are good. Like, they're a very good team. They have a chance right now if they can get healthy, if they can get Damari Carroll playing at a high level again. Like, they have
Which
a legit
part of it
chance.
You just want to kind of hold on to him until the playoffs.
What do you mean?
Like, in the sense that, you just want him to be healthy. You don't need him to be healthy today. You need him to be healthy.
No. April. Yeah. They need him to guard LeBron.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's Damari last year for the Hawks. I mean, I think you could make that direct correlation to a part of why the Hawks aren't as good as what they are.
Oh, for sure.
Connection.
He was the best player in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely, he was. And so, but I like Toronto. I think that would be the only. I do like Boston, but Boston, I think, is a piece or two.
I mean, Boston's. Like, they don't have it. Like, this current Boston team, they don't have a chance to beat Cleveland. Like, they've been fun. You know, they've been really good. They have a positive 4.2 point differential. They've been good, but I don't know. What about the Heat?
I want the Heat to be more than they are.
Everyone does, man.
You can't be 29-23 and losing dumb games and me 24. Be excited about you.
They lost two in a row.
Yeah, sorry, 29-24.
Yeah, I mean, if you just line the pieces up, though, like, you just never know what happens in the playoffs. Like, that Boston team in 2010, they were garbage in the regular season.
Yeah.
They were like 500 halfway through the season or something like that, and then went to the finals. Teams can turn it on, especially, like, these veteran teams like the Heat, who have a Chris Bosh and a Dwayne Wade and a Lal Ding. You know, you just never know what's
going
to happen.
I'm not even going at it. Yeah, the Charlotte Hornets have just pulled out. They beat the Heat. Yeah. I know they beat the Cavs this week as well, and then they beat somebody else. I was like, what? Where are they?
They're good. They're good.
They lost a ton of games in a row and then started kind of figuring out how to play basketball again.
Yeah, well, and they were figuring it out with Kid Gilchrist back, and he got hurt again.
Tore his labrum again, man.
Is it torn?
Yes.
Oh, man, that sucks.
I think that's what I read or saw on the bottom line. So.
Yeah, he's important to them. And
yeah, tears labrum in his shoulder again.
Really sucks. Like, he's gone. He was playing really well. He was shooting well from three. So that's disappointing. There was a lot of injuries this week. Kevin Love hurt his shoulder again.
Same one.
And he'll be out for a little while. Kelly Olynyk hurt his shoulder. Like, a lot of teams that matter in the East. Jimmy Butler's out for a while. Like, the Bulls... Listen to the statement. The Bulls could legitimately be out of the playoffs. They could miss the playoffs.
That would be hilarious.
The Bulls, the Knicks, the Lakers, all out of the playoffs this year. That is a legitimate thing. because the Pistons, like the Pistons are, have been, they've fallen off recently, but they've been pretty good. Like they could squeeze in, and Chicago could really fall off. He's going to be out for like 4 weeks or something like that.
That's bad. Like, I mean, they got trounced when he was gone.
Their defense sucks. They don't have a go-to scorer anymore. Like, so, I mean, it's basically Pau Gasol and whatever Derrick Rose is going to do before he gets hurt again.
Are you surprised? So is this a Fred Hoiberg issue? Obviously, the injuries are a huge part of it now. Roster makeup issue?
The roster's jacked up. They have too many big guys, and a lot of them are injured. Like Mirotić, he had an appendectomy, and things did not go well, apparently, and he's out for a while.
A botched appendectomy?
Pretty much. Ugh. Yeah. So that sucks for them, and he hasn't been that good this year.
Yeah.
Then you have Joakim Noah, who's out for this season, who wasn't playing that well anyways, but still had some trade value, and they could have gone and gotten a wing. Mike Dunleavy is in and out, and he's been out for most of the season. Who knows if he can play extended minutes. They're in trouble. They're in big trouble.
How crazy is this deadline going to be?
Well, I think as the days go on, I think it's going to get crazier, because teams like the Magic have been so bad that they could you know, potentially trade some of their pieces, because I think they've seen enough of some of their guys. They're like, okay.
Because you've mentioned in your Vantage Pod, you talked about Tobias Harris being one of the guys that they're shopping.
Yeah, they're shopping Tobias Harris. I don't know. I mean, there would be a lot of teams that would want him a lot. One, he has he's on a good contract. That's a long one under this current salary cap. And that matters. Like these contracts are going to get ridiculous. And if you can grab a guy who's on a long deal that was signed, you know, last summer or before, those are very, very valuable. So I think that they could be in there. Like Rudy Gay is probably going to get moved again.
Yeah, he's just not a piece that moves the...
Nobody wants him, but he's going to get moved again.
He keeps all his stuff in a suitcase.
Surely.
He's got to.
He just knows.
Who knows what the Wizards would want to do? Like they're still like within reach of making the playoffs. I doubt they do, but they're still within reach. You know, I mean, the Raptors are going to want to make a move, because like the Raptors aren't guaranteed to be this good again next year. So if
the window,
they have some extra picks, and they have some contracts that can be moved. I think that they're going to make a move. I think the Thunder and the
Clippers are going to probably try to make something. Rockets,
Clippers,
Rockets are actively shopping Dwight right now.
Dwight could be gone. I think there's a legit shot that Blake Griffin could be dealt at the trade deadline.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It could. I think that Blake Griffin will not be a Clipper. Sometime this calendar, in the calendar year.
Is that a chemistry move plus a cap space move? Like they can actually be more creative with their lineup to match what's going on in the West?
I just think it's we've seen what this team can do, and it's not that great.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, they haven't made it to the conference finals with this team, and they should have last season. And
That Houston series is so
embarrassing. They haven't made it out of the first round.
Second round last year. They beat the Spurs in the first round.
Beat the Spurs in the first round.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I'm wrong.
And that was their season. Like they were so jacked about that, they forgot to play the last three games of the or four games of the.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that it could be potentially pretty crazy, just depending on what teams want to do. I think that there'll be a lot of little pieces moved, whether Dwight or Blake or Dell. I don't know, but they're going to be shopping them, and if something comes up, like if the Nuggets, you know, put forth a really big offer, because they have the pieces to make one. Like if they throw like Gallo, Fareed, Will Barton, a first round pick for either one of those guys, like they're getting moved.
Gosh, man, I just don't know. And we'll talk about this here in a minute, because we got some trade calls coming up, but we'll talk about that. And then just a heads up, this Wednesday, we're going to be doing a pod with a big old group of people.
Yep.
At Anthem Brewery. It's the day before the trade deadline, and so we'll probably do a ton of trade calls.
Just going to be basically trade calls all night. So we'll try to drop it that night, so you can have something to listen to before the 2 p.m. trade deadline. But it'll just be a fun pod.
And also you can send a few thoughts towards Andrew, because he's going to be running on fumes the next day at school.
That's right.
He's going to be up until 3 in the morning editing a podcast.
Yeah.
Fun. All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Think of a Card.
I just got less excited for that.
Think of a car set. Think of a card says we have the best number. Well, sorry. Think of a card says we have the number one big two. No question. But how does our big three rank league wide? Our big four? Our big five?
Our big five? Yeah, we definitely have the best two players in the league. A big three, like you, Serge Ibaka is the third guy,
yep.
And he's a role player.
Yep.
Like he's not a star. So I think that you could throw the Cavs in there. As far as
Irving, Kyrie,
and they don't like
LeBron.
I'm not saying that they mesh well,
yeah,
because I don't think they do. But they definitely that's more talent in a big three. Anyone else in the East? No way.
No, I mean you look at any of the big teams; none of them have the third piece, right?
I mean
Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan,
John Shantush.
Yeah, right.
Nope, not happening. The Boston Celtics.
Yeah,
Evan Turner. No,
Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, there's nobody else in the East. So then you have to. I mean, you go to the Warriors.
They're number one for the big three.
It's Curry,
Draymond,
Thompson. I think I'll call them Clompson.
Clompson. It makes sense.
That's a pretty good nickname, actually.
That's what he deserves with that goatee.
And then the Spurs. We talked a little bit about this before. Like you have Kawhi, LaMarcus, and then Tony Parker. Like, is Tony Parker more important to the Spurs than
Surge's? You should compare all three of those pieces, though, because Kevin, Kawhi, Russ.
LaMarcus.
Yeah.
Russ is way better than LaMarcus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Like, how do you weigh it?
Yeah, exactly.
And is it...
It's like comparing different... What about the 76ers versus the 2000... Yeah. Like, now who knows? Like...
What would the 2001 Lakers be doing today? Does anybody know?
Which is a conversation that I have with the podcast group via text almost weekly.
All the time. It's awesome.
What do you think Shaq would do against the Warriors?
Hey, what's Shaq doing?
75 and 40. All right, yeah. Sorry.
What about the Clippers?
What do you got?
Is DeAndre more important
than Serge?
I think he might be. He's been so good.
You lose that argument because that tilts so heavily for Oklahoma City and the other two.
Yeah. I mean, yes, they're much better. But Blake and Chris are very good. They're my friends because I call them Blake and Chris.
My friends, Blake and Chris. Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
DeAndre tipped the scale that far over Serge?
Yeah, I think so. DeAndre should have been an all-star. DeAndre is so good.
Coaches didn't even vote him in, huh?
No. DeAndre is so, so good.
It's because he did the Mavs dirty.
He did them dirty.
It could be.
He did them dirty.
Andrew met DeAndre before he was something.
I did.
At the airport
when he was like whenever he was the third string center for the Clippers. It was Chris Kaman, Marcus Camby, and then DeAndre Jordan on the bench for the Clippers.
You said he's legitimately surprised that you
recognized him. I saw him strolling through the Houston airport and I said, "Hey, DeAndre Jordan." And I ran up to him and said, "Hey, can I take a picture with you?" And he said, "You want a picture with me?" He said, "You know who I am?" And I said, "Yeah, you're DeAndre Jordan, third string center for the Clippers." And he goes, "Wow." He said, "I'm really surprised you know who I am." I was like, "Yeah, dude, let's take a picture."
You know who else you've met in an airport? Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman. Yes, he was a very angry little man. He was very mad that we recognized him. Which is really funny because he was wearing an all-leather cowboy suit.
With a cowboy hat, correct?
A black leather cowboy hat.
Didn't you also meet Russ?
I met Russ at the airport at 5:30 in the morning.
Sonic, like we were
yeah, we were standing in line for coffee, and I turn around and Russell Westbrook is right there, right behind me. I was like, oh! And he had just had
I'd
surgery.
I'd have a meltdown, man. I'd just be like, oh, God, do I say anything? What do I do?
I definitely said
is he
something.
Punch me?
I have to say things. When I see celebrities or somebody that is recognizable, I have to say something to them. I just cannot control myself. I also saw Jamario Moon at the mall.
Oh. All right.
Had to talk to Jamario.
If you go to your big fours, you're going to add Adams. Have we talked about who your big five is with Cantor?
Yeah. I mean, Cantor is the fifth best player on the team, isn't he?
And it's not a cohesive unit. Like, it depends how you want to say it. Like,
it's not?
Yeah. Surprise. Cantor running the small forward.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know how that compares. You're getting
I mean, the Warriors are the best team. Yeah, they just are.
They're the best players, like, as a, going up to eight.
Yeah, I think you could. I think that, I mean, and it doesn't mean that you have the better team, because I think the Clippers probably have the second best big three.
And are the worst team out of all of.
And then, yeah, they're not even close. Like, they're, like, if they won the title this year, I would stop the podcast probably. Like, yeah. I just don't think.
Farewell.
Yeah, we'd be done. But yeah, the big three doesn't matter that much. Like, you look at the Spurs, like, they're just so deep. And what sucks for the whole league is that the Warriors have the best big three and the best overall team as well. So.
That's fun.
All right, let's move on to our next
Twitter they're all question. Like under 25.
They're all 26? Like 19. Yeah. Like, crap.
And then KD's going there. All right, moving on.
Our next Twitter question comes from at Davis Robbie. And he says, based on KD doing his due diligence in San Francisco last weekend, where all have you done your due diligence? I have no idea what the question means.
He said San Fran. I wish he would have said San Fran.
San Fran.
This is a straight. So supposedly, and it's all just total speculation. So they were in San Francisco, and he went to Oakland, and then, you know, because they played Golden State. Then he went to the football game, which is in Santa Clara outside of it. And so he did his due diligence on, like, I don't know if he was looking at housing prices or I don't know what they're assuming he was doing. And so he looked at that as like, if this is the location I end up, what's it going to look like? Like,
would this be a good fit for me?
Of course it'd be a good fit.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to be.
Yeah, if you want to be a loser, you can go there.
Yeah, because, jerk face.
Yeah, if you want to be an idiot, go there.
So where have you guys done your due diligence?
Here's the deal. I've been to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And it may be one of my favorite places in the world. It's the food, it's just beautiful. Like, there's so many awesome. We went 2 years ago. And if I was a billionaire, there's a chance that I would absolutely live there. And I'm not saying that as far as Kevin Durant going to play there. That's a place that I went and looked at, and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this place.
Yeah.
So that's just me.
Great. Andrew, where have you done your due diligence?
Wait, is that you doing your due diligence?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've went on Craigslist and looked, and some of that's because I'm just amazed. It's the most expensive city in the entire country.
So you've
it's like, overtaken New York as the most expensive. So some of it was, I was just intrigued. Like, what did it cost to live here? It's way too much.
Yeah.
But anyway, so like, if you go on Craigslist and look up prices of houses,
you're into it.
You've at least done some due diligence.
I have one.
Okay.
I was encouraged to apply for a job in Alabama. This is about a year and a half or 2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
It was a year and a half ago.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Or Birmingham?
Birmingham. Yeah. And I looked into this Birmingham video about their city life, their nightlife. Like, I called my friend who's a realtor there. I was got super into it and was found out all about it. And then I didn't get the job. No, that's not really true.
Looked into the nightlife.
The oil prices went down slow, but the job didn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So,
which is a common theme.
That's happening all around us all the time. I guess I did my due diligence when I bought a house. Like, I looked at lots of different houses, looked at the different neighborhoods.
So your neighborhood.
Found a great deal on a house, did a little work, moved in.
I think that's what he was asking.
Did my due diligence. I did it. We love the area. We love the neighborhood. We got great neighbors. It's a great situation. Is that the answer to the question?
That was it.
That is.
Okay.
All right. Next Twitter question also comes from at Davis Robbie.
What's up, Davis Robbie?
Who wants to know if you could change one move the Thunder organization made in the last 5 years? What would it be?
All right.
I'm not even going there. I'm not going to have the conversation about the Harden trade.
No. I don't even.
Mine is a few draft picks that they just missed on.
Oh, do it.
We just were talking about this. It was the Mitch McGarry draft. He plays Rodney Hood.
Oh, Rodney
is one. It's an easy fit at that two position.
Get freaking Rodney Hood here. He's so good. He is so good.
Also missed on Draymond Green.
Yeah. But literally every team in the league missed on Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mine's the 2010 NBA draft. The Thunder had several picks in the first round. They had the 18th pick in the draft, and then they also had the 21st pick in the draft. And they ended up trading those picks to get the 11th pick in the draft and drafted Cole Aldrich, which now doesn't look so great. But when you look back, like, who could they have taken at 11? Like, Ed Davis would have been better. Larry Sanders would have been better, although he went crazy. Kevin Serafin. And it's like, eh, like, that's fine. Don't make the trade at all. Just don't make it. Because they could have had
Eric Bledsoe.
And that's a trade that they made to the Clippers for Eric Bledsoe to get a first round pick that night. Shouldn't have done that.
The best one would have been Avery Bradley.
Keep Eric Bledsoe. Yeah, he could have gotten Avery Bradley. But then also Quincy Pondexter at 26 is a guy they had taken, a guy named Craig. Well, who did they get? Craig Brackens. So Craig Brackens and Quincy Pondexter, like, they could have come away with Quincy Pondexter and Eric Bledsoe, but instead they left with Cole Aldrich. So, like, that's one that, like, those are role players that could have filled in on your team, made you a lot better, and Eric Bledsoe was worth way more than the first round pick that they got, and they didn't know that at the time. Most guys that are drafted like 18th and beyond, once they've been drafted, aren't worth a first round pick again. Like, Terry Rozier this year was drafted like 16th. He's worth a second round pick today. So, like, a lot of, like, I understand what Sam Presti was doing. It makes a lot of sense, but it did not turn out well for them. So that's something. Like, you have Quincy Pondexter, who is that 3-and-D guy that everybody's looking out for, although he's been injured. But then you have Eric Bledsoe, who just comes in and,
yeah,
like, you put Eric Bledsoe and Russell Westbrook on the court together.
Too much muscles.
Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, and it's hard because some of those you just, like, that's one that is hard. Like, I won't critique moves that happen in the late 20s.
Yeah.
Like, for the most part, because those are just hard to predict.
Yeah.
But to trade those two picks and get Cole Aldrich at 11, you know.
It's, yeah, like, I mean, honestly, that's just bad scouting.
Yeah.
I just thought that he could be a lot more than he is. So he's
playing his best basketball of his life right now.
And he's, like, barely a backup center.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So what was interesting to me back at that time, I remember the rumor was not that they wanted to trade up to get Cole Aldrich, but they wanted to trade up to get Gordon Hayward.
That should have been tremendous.
That was Sam Presti's guy in that draft, apparently. So next question.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @cam8890, who wants to know, after watching OKC play the Warriors, does Deion need to continue for OKC to match up, or would Robertson be a better fit against them?
I think overall, with the spacing of the team, where you don't, I mean, I've just seen the Golden State Warriors do what they did to the Memphis Grizzlies, and that they just completely ignore Tony Allen, and they'll do the exact same thing with Andre Robertson. And I just don't for sure know what the spacing would look like for the Thunder on offense. I know defensively he'd be better than what Waiters was, although Waiters did a good job. Like, I'm not, like, I don't want to dog on him on the defensive end because he was actually good for them. So, I think that you keep Deion in the starting lineup, you keep that spacing, and then you bring in Andre Robertson to actually play defense with a bench unit that is not very good defensively, and you take some pressure off Durant when he's playing with those other really horrible defenders, or Russ, or whoever it is, because they're going to stagger Russ and Durant. I think that you bring him in as a utility defender. You can play power forward through shooting guard, and you can play him as much as you need to. But with the threat that Deion is, and sometimes that's all he is a threat to do something. He's not always executing, but if he's a guy you have to pay attention to, and that matters. So I think that you keep Deion. Ideally, they trade for somebody. who's a more of
that
a
actually three, does both things.
Yeah, who can actually do those things night in, night out. Who someone you have to guard and someone who can play defense. I think that ideally they do that, but if not, I think keeping Deion in the starting lineup makes a lot of sense.
I'm all in on that move. Keep Deion in the starting lineup, use Robertson. Because that's where the wheels fell off for that backup unit against Golden State. It wasn't offensively necessarily.
Well, it was.
It was both. But they also were getting scores. It was everything. Like, and because, like, in the same way, Steve Kerr staggered Steph. So you have Steph out there with campaign, and you're just like, oh, Lord. Yeah. Not that Robertson could do much more. I mean, he would be way better against anybody than
he'd
campaign,
be a lot better.
But you just saw that really fall off, both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, he would have made a difference. Huh?
I think so.
Against in that I second quarter. So, yeah. But I've already said what I think.
All right. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @FallawayMyers35. Who wants to know our all-star game MVP predictions? Does Russ break the assist record of 22? Does Curry break the points record of 42? And our other thoughts.
Let me ask a follow-up question as part of this question.
Yeah.
Do you like All-Star Weekend?
Yeah, I like the Saturday night stuff. I think the dunk contest is always fun, at least. It's something that I always watch it.
I used to love it. I don't even know who's in it this year.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm on it right now.
Get the field out. The field is actually pretty good.
All-Star Weekend, it's just...
I'm not sure
I've ever watched a full game.
It's been a long time. I haven't watched a full All-Star game since college. It just doesn't... I mean, it's fun, but... I did watch most of it last year when Russ won the MVP. That was super fun.
And I'll probably watch a lot of it this year because of the fact that you have two guys
in the starting line
starting. Which is
different. Yeah, I will definitely watch it, but I don't care that much about it. Like, obviously, it's not. They need to put some kind of meaning into it. Like, there's no meaning into it whatsoever. Like, they play. There's some jams. There's some threes.
Yeah, great. And it always right there at the end they start going a little bit nuts. So the lineup for the 2016, Zach LaVine. For Minnesota, the defending champion, who's really good.
He's good. He's going to... I'd be very shocked if he didn't win the dunk contest.
Aaron Gordon?
Yeah. He's very, very athletic, but there's been guys that are very, very athletic that are not very much fun
to watch. Barton?
Yeah. Will Barton will be fun.
And then Andre Drummond.
Yeah. Why do they have to have a big?
I don't know. It's just going to make my whole comment about his athleticism and Steve Adams feel really dumb.
He's very
athletic. Because if he's going to be like, do like a backflip into a dunk, I'm like, God.
He's very athletic. But like, I don't know. They say he's the best dunker on the Pistons.
Sure.
So whatever that means.
I'm sure Reggie would refute that just because he's a... Every word I had was going to be way too bad.
That's right. That's what he is.
Yeah.
They're all going to be curse words. All right. Let's move on to...
We didn't even answer the question. All-star MVP?
Katie.
Kobe. Ooh. It's Kobe.
Kobe.
They're going to let Kobe go for Kobe. Like 100
Kobe. Points. Every assist is going to Kobe.
Kobe plays 40 minutes.
Absolutely.
No,
and then he doesn't play again for the rest of his career.
I think it'll be between like Curry and Durant. I think that they're going to shoot a lot. I don't know that anybody breaks the point record this year. There's just so much talent in that first unit. I don't know. I don't think anybody stands out that much this season.
Does Russ break the assist record?
No. No. I don't think that he plays enough. I don't know that he plays enough point guard for that to happen. So I don't know how much do these guys even want to play? Like, there's so much at stake with this season. Like, last year, Russ knew that he did... Like, there was not a lot at stake for the Thunder that season.
That's true, yeah.
Like, they were trying to make the playoffs, but, you know, if he's going to go get the MVP, like, this is the year to do it. Like, Durant's out, the team's in shambles, Reggie Jackson's a jerk, let's go get the MVP.
You're right.
This year, like, the Thunder, like, very much matter. And they'll both play a lot in the game, but I just don't... I don't know. I don't think it matters that much.
Let's move on to our trade calls.
We'll be trading Dwight Howard today. Are you going to do this, Jamar?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right. I was going to just trade Luol Deng today.
Thank you.
But I
thank you for not doing
decided
that.
Against it. So you're going to be Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets. Okay, so your lifestyle is you're very smart, but also have an affinity for donuts.
Oh, which is pretty close to my actual...
This
is one part of those two things is accurate.
Okay. I don't know if you guys are ready for this. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello.
David Griffin here. Dave Griffin.
Hey, Dave.
From the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Ooh.
We're willing to offer you Kevin Love, Sasha Khan, and James Jones for Dwight Howard and Terrence Jones.
Hold on a second. So, Kevin Love, Sasha Khan?
Sasha Khan.
And who's the third piece?
James Jones, longtime friend of LeBron.
For Howard
and Terrence Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will do that.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course I will. I mean,
I wonder if the Cavs will want to do that. I wonder if they would want to do that.
No.
Probably not.
Because I think they're going away from being big, right?
I don't know.
Why would you have Mozgov and Dwight Howard on your team?
I think at that point you try to trade Mozgov.
So this is another trade. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that trade for Houston too. I think Capella, and that's what's going to be hard for them, is probably let him be the center. For as little as centers really matter, other than,
yeah,
can you protect the rim or anyway.
Yeah, Capella's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So, okay. Ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hello. Sorry.
Hello. It's Wes Wilcox. I'm only the interim GM. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. But I'm from the Hawks. I'd like to trade you Al Horford, Tiago Splitter, and Shelvin Mack for Dwight Howard and Terrence Jones.
God. Yeah. I made a trade up yesterday and sent one for the Hawks taking Howard. And I know it probably doesn't make sense.
Does Al Horford have more value than Dwight Howard? I don't know.
In today's NBA, I think so.
Probably. Dwight's the center for like the 27th or 26th best defense in the league this year. They're horrible. They're awful. I think the Lakers have a better defense than they do. They're just horrible. Oh. This can't be happening. God. Luke just let out the biggest fart.
Oh, my Lord.
The longest fart that I've heard in probably years.
That's a lie.
I don't know. I think Horford for this season,
yeah,
like this era of NBA, he just makes sense. He stretches the floor.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss every free throw he shoots. He's decent defender. He's not Dwight.
Yeah. What if you're Atlanta? I don't know.
I think that the only reason I said that Dwight Howard is because I always feel like there's so much Horford and Millsap are like we've talked about it before. Horford's almost more of a power forward.
Yeah, he's an old school power forward.
Yeah, and I think that to put Howard next to Millsap, I think that works.
It gives him a different ceiling, I feel like.
And what sucks, though, is the fact that Howard's going to put a strain, and there's going to be somebody that buys into it, but he's going to put a strain on anybody this offseason to make a decision. Like, this guy's going to be, what is he going to be, 35, 36 at the end of his next contract?
Yeah.
With a ton of tread taken
off his tires, right? He may not make it.
Yeah. So.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hello. Daryl Morey.
Larry Bird.
Hey, Larry.
I'd like to offer you George Hill, Rodney Stuckey, Ian Mahimi, and Miles Turner for Dwight Howard.
Ian Mahimi.
Basically, what you're getting is a really solid veteran in George Hill. And
this is a bad place, man, because I'm down on Dwight right now.
Miles Turner, who
could
be the future for your franchise.
I don't think Indiana would make that move.
We're making it right.
Yeah, I'll take that move.
Wow, really? That's a crappy trade, man.
If you're at the point where you're ready to get rid of Howard, you're going to get a young center who's been relatively promising.
Yeah,
George Hill's going to play and actually make sense next to Harden.
Yeah,
you know, like I'd make him my starting point guard immediately.
Yeah, but then you have like too many point guards.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of Ty Lawson. That was a horrible decision.
Yeah, they didn't give up that much for him, though.
Ring, I mean, ring, except ring. For their season.
Ring, ring, ring.
I mean, it's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
All right. Hello, this is Daryl.
Danny Ainge.
Are you telling Daryl what is and isn't his fault? All right, go ahead. Hey, Danny.
Danny Ainge. Hey, old buddy.
Hey, man. You've got a lot of pieces I like. Let's go ahead and make this thing happen.
All right. David Lee. Evan Turner.
That's a bad start.
David Lee. Evan Turner. Kelly Olynyk. And a first-round pick from the Brooklyn Nets for Dwight Howard.
Not as Daryl Morey. What does that first-round pick for the Nets look like?
Unprotected.
Top, like, it's their pick.
It's their pick, unprotected.
It could be a top five pick.
It could be the number one pick.
Then absolutely, I'm taking that.
All right. Great doing business with you.
That's a bad trade for Boston. They wouldn't do that.
Probably not. But you know, but the thing is, like, for this season, you're not giving up basically, like, you're giving up Kelly Olynyk, who is, like, Dwight Howard's better than Kelly Olynyk, and Evan Turner, and then, like, your defense kills everybody, and you actually,
it's true,
like, you could have a chance to, like, really do something in the playoffs.
Yeah, the hard thing about that, those Boston, those picks, it's what they've done everything for, right? Like, they've really been working for this draft. And even though they're going to be, I mean, they're a playoff team, like a pretty good playoff team.
They have a couple.
They could still add one more piece to make that.
They have two of the Brooklyn's first round picks, though.
Brooklyn, what in the world? For Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett?
It's awesome. Ring, ring, ring.
Hello?
Ring, ring, ring. It's Pat Riley.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, we'd like to acquire Dwight. We'll give you Hassan Whiteside, Chris Anderson, Josh McRoberts, and Luol Deng.
Deng.
Also known as Luol Deng.
Luol Deng. Straight up for Dwight Howard.
Straight up. Let's do it.
It's not going to fix. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Great. This is great. This is great news.
But you're so down on Hassan.
Well, we just can't re-sign him this summer. We don't have his full bird rights.
Would you have Dwight's?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, let's do it.
Would we
get Hassan's?
No. No one has him. He's on a two-year deal.
Oh, gosh. Well, that sucks. So we have partial bird rights. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
I don't do that.
I don't like any of those other pieces, though. Dang. No. Yeah.
It's.
You're right. I don't like that trade very much. Luol Deng.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Rich Cho here.
Hey, Rich.
Hello. We'll like to acquire Dwight Howard. We'll give you the expiring contract of Al Jefferson, Jeremy Lamb, Frank Kaminsky, and PJ Hairston for Dwight Howard.
PJ Lamb.
Frank Kaminsky.
Frank Kaminsky.
Very, very promising rookie. And you'll have the bird rights to Al Jefferson if you just want to bring him right on back.
No.
Well,
I don't like. No, I'm not. I'm out. I'm sure that's how Daryl would talk and come.
I'm out. Yeah, that's not a great trade. I'm just trying to get him to a team that would likely resign it. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello,
ring, ring.
Hello, hello.
Cubes.
Yep.
It's Cubes.
Okay.
What's up, Daryl?
What's up?
Hey, man. Never thought we'd be better than you this season, huh?
Me neither.
Never thought that. Oh. All right. Okay, we want Dwight Howard. No question. We'll give you Chandler, Parsons, Zaza, and Justin Anderson for Dwight Howard.
Chandler Parsons, Zaza.
You're clearly a better team with those guys.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's do this. Let's do a deal. Come on. Do we have a deal?
Yes.
Yep. Do you think the Rockets would really do that?
I don't know.
I think that I don't know if they'd offer. Well, they probably would, because I think that Chandler Parsons can be a free agent this year, too.
I think Chandler Parsons. Yeah, I think. I don't know. The Mavericks, their ceiling is kind of what it is, right?
Yeah. They're,
I think Dwight would take it to a different level.
Yeah.
For this year.
Yeah, for this season. Then you have to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the hard thing with Dwight about this whole conversation. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways.
I like Zaza.
That's trade calls.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to trade Dwight is what I found out from those trade calls.
There's just not a lot. Like, the thing is that there are a lot of really good centers out there right now. And you, like, most teams don't need him. All the good teams in the league don't need Dwight Howard and don't want him.
So the expanding salary cap is going to make it to where people are more likely to sign him to a decent extension.
There'll just be a lot of people that will have max room
because he won't. He will. He does not have the ability to sign a 1-1, like a 1-year deal, and then re-up when the thing.
Yeah, he can do that.
You think he would do? You think he would? Sorry, I know.
No.
He'll sign the 5-year.
If a team will give him 5 years, he'll take it, yeah. And that will be a really.
And
really,
he'll be done.
And he'll be making $30 million a year.
Man, he's not worth it.
Someone's going to do it, man. I'm telling you. What's your best guess?
Charlotte?
If Charlotte does it, great. If Brooklyn can make room for it, they'll do it. They need
get rid of Lopez.
They need guys. Yeah, they would probably do Brooke Lopez for Dwight Howard, which would be really dumb on their part, but they'd probably do it since he'd sell more tickets than Brooke Lopez does.
It's true.
Which is probably more important to them than anything at this point.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun and super stressful offseason for Thunder fans.
Yeah. Also for like the whole league, because like every team in the league will need a new coach.
It's going to be so. Yeah, you're right.
There'll be a lot of like coaching.
Scott Brooks just waiting. So is Thibodeau.
They're going to get some big time offers this offseason.
Yep. Deservingly so, man. Brooks does a good job. I'm surprised Brooks. It's because Phil wants the triangle, but. Brooks going to New York. We talked about Orlando being a good fit for him, but
anyway. And Minnesota will probably be open. The Lakers will be open. One of those teams, I think, will hire Scott Brooks.
Yeah,
and it'll be a good fit for him. What did you think about? Did you listen to the podcast?
I didn't listen to it.
So Scott Brooks, here's what he said about James Harden. James Harden loved his role as a sixth man. He wanted to come off the bench. That's what he wanted. In fact. He started a couple games in place of Tabas Cephalosha as he was injured. After the game, James Harden came to him and said, "Coach, you have to put me back as a sixth man. I do not like starting. I need to be the sixth man. That's my spot. That's my role. Give me back my role."
What? That just is contrary to everything he's done since, right?
Do you think Scott Brooks is lying? Or that he is like misremembering?
I think that was probably authentic in the moment, right?
He also mispronounced Andre Robertson's last name.
Like me!
Oh, God. He did.
He called him
Robertson. Some player's coach, huh?
I don't know about that. That's a strange thing.
How are you supposed to feel about that? I've been trying to process it for days now, and I don't really know what to do with it.
Because Harden's comments were like, "I feel like I did sacrifice for this team."
Yeah.
Right? Like, why would he say that if he was like...
And then remember whenever he started at the All-Star game the next season and Scott Brooks was his coach, was the All-Star coach, and he was like, "Well, I'm finally getting to start, huh?"
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I think Scott Brooks is lying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's lying. I don't know if he's lying, but I do think that maybe he's putting a little bit more emphasis on maybe like one small thing that James Harden said and then like just like... Putting that out there. Because, like, if he wanted to be the sixth man, he would have been the highest paid sixth man ever had he signed the deal that he did.
Absolutely.
He's lying. I'm trying to make, like, to make the decisions he made look better in hindsight.
Him and Russell. James Harden is basically a point guard. Right? Like he is a ball dominant shooting guard who's the best passer and the best handler on the team he plays on.
Yeah, he is. Now
with Russell Westbrook especially being who he is now, like how does Harden fit in that?
I don't know, but you do whatever you can to make it work.
I guess, man. I know, but
all right, let's move on to top five power rankings.
Top 5 Power Rankings! Beow, 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 beow. Top 5 Power Rankings! Beow, 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 beow. Top 5 Power Rankings! Down to Dunk Podcast, have a power
So what we wanted to do for our power rankings is talk about the teams basically beyond Oklahoma City, Golden State, and San Antonio.
We want to do the top five that aren't the top five. Three,
yeah. That aren't the top.
But I think you need not including top three, the, right?
Like, not including the top three. So who, like, I think the, it's the Cavs.
The Raptors.
I think you go Cavs, Raptors,
Clippers.
Do you put the Clippers? Are the Clippers better than the Raptors? Maybe.
I'd
probably go Cavs, Clippers, Raptors,
Celtics.
Oh boy, that's where it gets weird because
the wheels fall off at some point.
Because you have the Grizzlies, lost Marc Gasol. Yeah,
they're out of the conversation.
It's gone. The Mavericks are in the conversation. Oh, the Jazz, the Blazers. Oh,
I just got sick to my stomach.
I like the Jazz, man. The Jazz are
Jazz,
good.
Man. Didn't they just lose to the Pelicans?
They did. Second night of a back-to-back. Then they're, I mean...
I wish you guys could hear me rolling my eyes.
I like Atlanta. I like Boston. I think they've been really good, but I like Atlanta a little bit more. So... Cavs.
Yeah, Jazz are putting together a good little
They're
run.
Good, man. Yeah. They're good. Cavs.
They won 7 out of 8.
Clippers. Raptors.
Celtics. I think Celtics deserve to be in that
Celtics
conversation.
And Hawks?
Man, Hawks. What's their last... here, hold on. Give me a second here. Hawks are 5-5 in their last 10.
It's not great.
It is not great.
The Heat? They've lost two in a row.
I'd put the Heat somewhere in there.
The
Trailblazers are
two. They've been good, man. They've been so good. Give me the Blazers.
They're going to make the playoffs, by the way.
Are they? Are the Rockets missing the playoffs? That's
if they trade Dwight, I don't know what they're going to get back for him, but...
The Jazz are going to make the playoffs. They're going to make it. The Blazers' schedule gets really, really difficult down the stretch. I don't think the Blazers are making it. I think the Rockets will be in. I think it'll be Rockets, Jazz, 7-8. Memphis could fall out. Memphis isn't in it for sure.
Especially with the loss of Marc Gasol.
Yeah, they could. I think they'll stay in. But
I see the Mavericks moving to that 5.
Yeah.
Mavericks, Clippers, first round series.
The Rockets can miss the playoffs, though. It's very possible.
Absolutely is.
The Blazers made the playoffs, man. I thought they were going to suck this year. They're good. I'm putting the Blazers in at 5.
I like it. I don't like it, actually, at all. That just shows you how weird this NBA season is.
It's been weird.
All right. So
cool.
Let's move on to Miffed and Peeved. What's making you miff? What's making you peeved?
Miff.
Miff.
Miff. Miffed and peeved.
Got to wear my Fitbit this morning. Every step that I take is a wasted step.
Oh, man.
I might as well be on a Segway all day.
Oh, crap.
Because if it's not marked, it doesn't count. Are you doing competition or something?
Oh, yeah, man. Work week hustle. I'm killing everybody, but this may really screw everything up for me right now.
You're almost thinking, how can I go back by my house before I go to work?
I know. I can't now because this podcast is going way too long. I'm pretty miffed about that.
Yeah, I understand that.
Man, I'm miffed.
All right.
Burger King is now serving hot dogs, and I'm miffed about it. That it didn't happen years ago. I'm all in on Burger King hot dogs. I've been waiting for McDonald's to do hot dogs for years.
That is so gross.
And now Burger King beat them to it. They want their hot dog to be the Whopper of hot dogs, and I want to eat it. They got one that's filled with cheese.
Oh my gosh.
My miffed and peeved is
I can't imagine a scenario where I would drive through and get a Burger King hot dog.
Toilet bowls everywhere are terrified.
My miffed and peeved is about getting old, y'all. I got two stories over the last week where I'm starting to get old. Number one, high blood pressure.
Yeah, dude.
No.
Yeah. Sorry. And part of that's because both getting old and then eating everything you want.
Hell yeah.
Eating hot dogs at Burger King.
Hell yeah.
And the second thing is I was standing up for if I'm standing straight up or I'm putting too much weight on my right leg, It'll just go numb.
Come on.
I got a sciatic issue. And so it's just like these moments where I'm like, oh, no.
Oh.
My father-in-law talks about these issues.
Wow.
So I got to get my life together. It's falling apart.
Dang. Watch All-Star Weekend. Give us a 5-star iTunes review. And
eat a hot dog. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDpodcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.